Matthew chapter 13, verse number 1. The Bible says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went out into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, if you go over to verse number 18, we're going to read the interpretation of this parable. "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Verse 23, amen. "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that this message would just be an encouragement, Lord, to a people that are in the seed sowing business, Lord, and maybe an encouragement to some that are sitting on the sidelines, not as involved as they need to be. And Lord, an encouragement to others who are, Lord, involved. Lord, I love what Brother Joel Haynes said. Lord, thank you for sending him to us to kick off our meeting. And Lord, he said, I can tell you what the Lord wants you to do when it comes to missions. He said, this is what he wants you to do more. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us all. No matter what we are doing or how involved we are, we'd always be open to doing more for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. And as I mentioned, Jesus, a lot of times when he was talking about reaching the lost, when he was talking about and training his disciples and speaking to the multitude, he a lot of times would refer to something along the agricultural frame of mind, the agricultural types of jobs. And there would be parallels there between that and Jesus reaching people for Christ. Just a few weeks, the farmers in our home area will be turning ground, come on, fertilizing fields, planting seed, springtime in southwestern Indiana. Come on, springtime, southwestern Indiana is seed sowing time. Families will be getting their garden spots ready, tilling and hoeing and planting green beans and sweet corn, tomatoes, cucumbers, lettuce, more. They do this because, watch this, they do this because come late summer, they want to have a harvest. They want to have a harvest. And so in this portion of Scripture, Christ uses agriculture to teach us some lessons about our responsibility to get the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the lost. You know, folks, one of the things you have to determine is no matter what the results are or seem to be, just make a commitment to this idea that I'm just going to keep sowing the seed. I'm just going to keep sowing the seed. And I will tell you that there are going to be times you're going to be tempted to quit sowing the seed. Well, why would we be tempted to quit, preacher? Because of the amount of work that's involved that seems to yield no fruit at all. In this parable, we see this sower, three-fourths of what he's doing produces no fruit. And if we're not careful, what we can do is we can start basing our involvement in sowing seeds based on what we see from a human standpoint, whether or not it's being a success or not. The amount of work involved that yields no fruit sometimes is a discouragement. The amount of personal disappointment that comes with sowing. You know, sometimes you see that the seed just goes on a hard heart and there's no yield, there's no reception, there's no openness to it. And you pretty much know that the ravens of hell have already swept in before you walked away from the door and taken the seed, and that can be discouraging. But you know, sometimes what's even more discouraging is when the soil at least receives the seed and you see short-term response and short-term reaction. Come on, if we had a dollar in this church for every single person that got a track or got an invitation, or come on, bus captains, came on the bus for a little while, and man, it looks like this kid's going to make it or this family's going to stick, and then a month or two later, and if that happens to you over and over and over, it's easy to get the point like, what am I doing? Why am I wasting my time on this? And we see sometimes these short-term results of the sowing of the seed, but you know what? The devil's busy about what he's doing, and you know what? He, as we're planting good seed, he's planting thorns and thistles, and you know what? He's making sure there's rocks in the soil, and there's all kinds of reasons why people don't stick with it. But you know what? That can be a discouragement. By the way, the amount of demonic attacks that come with the decision to sow. And we even read in this portion of scripture where we talk about the evil one that comes and tries to snatch away the seed. And you know, if you're going to get into the seed sowing business as a church, you're going to have to understand that you're setting yourself up for demonic attacks. Okay, if you're going to get into this worldwide missions and you're going to start making an impact around the world, here comes the attacks. If you're going to start looking at your Jerusalem and produce a program like Operation Occupation and say to a congregation, let's take the gospel to every door in our Jerusalem, you can expect attacks. When you're going to start putting gas in buses and running across and picking up, you're going to have to expect attacks. Listen, I'm just getting Blessed Hope Baptist Church ready, okay? You start getting into the church planting business, and you know what? Why wouldn't the devil attack a church like this? And you know what? Good night. I mean, we all know that, but when it actually happens, it's hard. It's tough to take sometimes. But you know what, folks? I just guess the Lord wanted me to come up to the pulpit and just say this. Despite all those things, and they're all true, you know what? Let's just keep sowing. Amen. You said, preacher, why would you just keep sowing when there's a lot of, I mean, come on, 3 out of 4 seeds isn't even going to produce anything, and maybe more than that. And you know what? There's disappointments along the way, and there's demonic attacks that come as a result of it. Why would you just keep going? Well, first of all, it's a command of our master. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Folks, that ought to be reason enough. You know why we keep doing it? Because Jesus told us to do it. So let's just keep sowing the seed. How about this? The power of the seed. Think about the power of the seed. The interpretation, the sower soweth the word. And folks, as I mentioned a minute ago, you know what? What we're sowing is the word of God. What we're sowing is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's power in that. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. And so you know why I keep sowing the seed? Because it's a powerful seed. And yes, it doesn't always land in the soil we wish it lands in. But when it does, man, it can do some amazing things. The eternal life gained by the recipients. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And when we're talking about the spiritual application here, listen, I'm going to be right in with the rest of you this spring planting a garden. You know why? Because I like what I get in the fall. But we're not talking about the reward being one day, you know what, fresh tomatoes or corn on the cob. You know what we're talking about? The reward being standing at the judgment seat of Christ and being able to stand with some people that God allowed you to have influence on, to be able to bring your sheaves with you. Amen. That's what we're talking about. The productivity of the few. You say, well, preacher, you know what? More people don't turn out than turn out. And more people don't get saved than get saved. I know that. But did you read at the end there, the end of the parable, it says, he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also bear fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60 and some 30. Folks, listen to me. Maybe it seems like a lot of people aren't getting it or don't get it. But here's what's exciting. When somebody does get it, man, the potential of their life and what they can produce for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's worth reaching the few because of the potential productivity of the few. And so, you know what? That just keeps me in the harvest. Let me have you go over to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and we won't teach through the whole story, but we see Jesus modeling for us what he's commanded us to do. The first part of this chapter, he's sitting at the well, and he's talking at Jacob's well, and he's talking to a Samaritan woman. And you know what? Jesus was the greatest personal soul winner that ever walked the face of the earth. And so we see this interaction. We're familiar with the story. But let me have you go over to verse number 34. And now she has left and the disciples have come back. And so let's begin reading in verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Now, Christ likened the winning of souls to harvesting a crop here. You know, many Christian songwriters have taken that theme and the Lord has blessed them and helped them to take pen to paper and write some beautiful hymns, encouraging Christians with the thought of the harvest and encouraging us to be busy winning souls. John R. Rice understood this great truth when he wrote the song, so little time the harvest will be over, our reaping done. We reapers taken home, report our work to Jesus, Lord of harvest, and hope he'll smile and that he'll say, well done. John Thompson understood the need for reapers when he wrote the beautiful hymn entitled, The Call for Reapers. Lord of harvest, send forth reapers. Hear us, Lord, to thee we cry. Send them now the sheaves to gather ere the harvest time pass by. Noel Shaw understood when he wrote in, bringing in the sheaves. Isn't that a good song? Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy eve, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping. We shall go rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. So we see in this portion of scripture as he begins to talk to his disciples, they come back and they say, we have brought some food. And he said, hey, I've already got meat. I've already partaken of the meat. And he said, they said, well, what, where did he get food? And he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And let me share something else out of this. Christ taught us that to him, picking the harvest was priority one. This is what Jesus Christ taught us by example. Picking the harvest, being involved in the harvest was priority one. In the verses earlier in the chapter, in John chapter 4, Christ had just finished talking to the Samaritan woman. He met by the well. By the way, we see in this story that Jesus was tired. He sat down by the well because he was weary. He was hungry and he was thirsty. Yet he lay aside all his own needs when a woman walked up that was unsaved. And he told this woman about living water. He told her, listen, while he was tired. He told her while he was hungry. He told her while he was thirsty. And you know what? I believe what we have to do is to understand that if we're going to be involved in the harvest, you know what, folks, listen to me. If you're going to obey the command to win souls, you know what? Many times you're going to have to choose between satisfying your flesh and what it wants to do and obeying the word of God and what it tells us to do. See, Jesus saw this woman and knew that she was on her way to hell. Let me just say that again. She was on her way to hell. And he made it a first priority to win her to himself. Was he tired? Yes. Preacher, I'm just so busy. I come home from work and I'm tired. Well, so was Jesus. You know what he did? He still talked to somebody. He still witnessed to somebody. He still made an eternal difference in somebody's life. Preacher, I'm busy. He was busy too, but he took the time to win people to himself. I'm hungry and I'm thirsty. And it's a wonderful thing when you're hungry and you're thirsty and you just tell the old flesh, shut up. There's something more important for the next couple of hours. And you know what? McDonald's can wait. And I'm just going to stick out here on my mission field and I'm going to finish this section and I'm going to knock on doors till this box of packets is gone. Hey, flesh, just be quiet. Be quiet. But if you're going to be involved in the harvest, one of the things we learn by Christ's example is that you're going to have to say no to your flesh. How important is winning the lost to you and me compared to Jesus? We can say we're too busy, but we find time for how many other things? Are they more important than helping someone avoid an eternity in hell? These are the questions we have to ask ourselves. Dr. Curtis Hudson once said, this. It is the Christian's business to populate heaven and depopulate hell. Are you in that business? Are you in that business? George W. Truett was the longtime pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. Under his leadership, the church grew from 715 members to 7,804 members. Wow. He's quoted as often saying this: the bringing of one soul to Jesus Christ is the highest achievement possible to human life. Wow. Wow. Think about that. So we see that Christ likened the winning of souls to harvesting a crop, and he taught us by example that picking the harvest was going to be priority one, and he was going to deny his flesh and be in the harvest business. And then we see that Christ instructed us, of course, to pray to the Lord of harvest for laborers. And we see that in Matthew chapter 9. Again, it's talking about parallels between agriculture, this matter of sowing seed. Matthew 9:37, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth labor unto his harvest. And at our church, at the beginning of every service, we have the opportunity and give you the opportunity to fill out prayer request forms. And I probably need to say something about that. It's been a while, but if you have a prayer request, something you'd like to bring before the church to pray about, you go back to the information desk, ask one of our ushers, they'll help you. There's a little form you can fill out. That'll be brought to the pulpit during our announcement time. We'll read these prayer requests. We'll stop. We'll pray over these prayer requests. Hey, if I get a prayer request from you, and you know what? By the way, the people in this church are very dear to me and very dear to my family. And when something's going on in your life and it's important enough that you fill out a prayer request about it, you know what? I take that seriously. I join you in praying about that. But I've got to say this. If Jesus gives us a prayer request, if Jesus has assigned us a prayer request, you know, that ought to go to the top of everybody's prayer list. And it was Jesus that said to the church and to us from the pages of the Bible, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. Jesus has given us and gave his disciples a very special prayer request. If we should honor a prayer request from anyone, we should certainly honor a prayer request that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the need's not new. The need has been what it's always been, and that is for laborers. And you know what? The way we can get more laborers is we can begin to pray that God would send forth laborers. And I want to finish this by reminding you to look back, if you're still there, in John chapter 4, verse 36. And I want to remind you on our closing point here that Christ has promised us that God pays his reapers. God pays his reapers. In John 4, 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And I want to say this: God will be debtor to no man. And one of the things he's promised to do is to shower blessings upon those that are willing to be involved in the harvest. Now, this is the challenge for tonight, a new year of Operation Occupation. Preacher, should everybody be involved in the ministry of Operation Occupation? No, absolutely not. I've already said there's some of you that are involved already in other ministries, and you know what? You need to stick with that. But should more people be involved in Operation Occupation? I honestly believe that more people should. Or some other ministry that puts you out there every single week bringing the gospel to lost people. I had one of our bus kids. I told this story this morning. I had one of our bus young men, I think, out of Brother Dively's class at the end of the service last Sunday morning. And you know what? Well, we've had the missionaries coming in and they're stirring our hearts. And here this little fifth or sixth grade boy comes flying back and meets me at the back door. And he looks at me with all sincerity and said, "Preacher, can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Yes, you absolutely can." He said, "How can I bring my friends to the Lord Jesus Christ? How can I help get them saved?" Brother, I'm telling you something. You know, one of the advantages of keeping this a priority and keeping the pulpit hot about this is that our children start getting it. Hey, our bus kids start getting it. His mom don't go to church. His dad don't go to church. He rides a bus to church. And I'm glad that I was standing back there beside the track rack, because I was able to just turn around and pick up a stack of tracts and turn around and hand it to him and say, let me show you what these are. And I said, if you can get one of your friends to sit down with you, you can open this tract and you can read this tract to him. And it's got the verses in here too. See where it's red letter there? That's the verses. You can read this tract to him. Or if he doesn't have time for you to read it with him, then just give it to him. And he looked down at these tracts and looked at me and big smile on his face. He had a way that he could start influencing people for Jesus. Thank you, preacher. Turned around and ran for the bus. Brother, that's encouraging. Amen. That's a blessing. I shared that story this morning at the end of the service. I had another young man come to me back there. And same thing, just about the same age. And said, preacher, where are those papers you were talking about? I'd like to get my friends to Jesus Christ. Folks, listen to me. You know what I did? I did the same thing with him. I gave him a stack of tracts, showed him how to use them. But I also, I'm going to just be honest with you. I also felt the Holy Spirit of God convicting my heart. I said, God, you know what? We all need that. We all need a fresh infusion of that. Lord, don't let a bus kid be more excited about bringing the gospel to one of his friends than I am. That boy, by the way, rode home with Brother Joseph on the bus there. And I don't know if he got to thinking about it. You know, now I've got to go talk to my friends or what exactly happened. But Joseph shared to me a funny story. The same boy I just told you about this morning, when he got off the bus, he turned around, came back on the bus. And he looked at Brother Joseph, who's driving the bus. And he said, Brother Joseph, he said, do you have any friends that are lost, that need Jesus? And he said, well, yeah, I work with some guys that need to be saved. And he took four or five of those tracts and said, here, give it to them. Amen. I love that. I love that story. It's about time. Took a bus kid to get that guy under conviction about passing out tracts, you know. And I don't know if he counted the cost of that and thought, hey, I got a way I can do this. I'll just give these tracts to other Christians, tell them to give them out. You know what? Let's just keep sowing the seed. Let's just keep sowing the seed. Bus workers, keep doing what you're doing. Soul winners, keep doing what you're doing. Sunday school teachers, you're doing such a good job. Love on them kids. Come on. Get into their homes. Visit them. Come on. Make it a goal to win their mom into Christ. Make it a goal to win their daddy to Christ. Look for that older brother, that older sister, you know. I mean, there's opportunities all around us, folks, but you know what it's going to take? It's going to take laborers. Come on, think about this. You know what? Don't forget, when we read that little command, go ye. I'm going to have you say it with me. Ye means me. Right. Let's say it together. Ye means me. Ye means me. Amen. All right. So you know what that does? That puts it on all of our shoulders. And y'all are doing such a great job. I mean this. You don't have a Sunday morning like we had this morning. And that don't happen every week at Blessed Bad. I think we were unusually blessed this morning. But you don't have these things happen if it's not for the fact that people are out there doing it. So let's just keep sowing. Hey, somewhere, somehow, during this week, sow some seed. Just everybody sow some seed. I can tell you right now, it's not all going to produce fruit. I can tell you right now that some of it's going to produce disappointments. I can tell you right now that as you're doing it, you're going to become a target for satanic attacks. You know what? So what? Let's just take another week and let's just sow some more seed. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your blessing to us. And Lord, thank you for your watch care over us. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you just help us. Lord, I know, I've done this an awful long time. I know the way the devil works on our hearts. I know the way he brings discouragement. I know the way he tries to attack families that are doing the right thing and serving the Lord. I know how he will cause things to go wrong to try to keep things in our life so upside down and in chaos. We can't seem to ever find the time to do the most important things. But Lord, I pray that you just help us to set a reset button, church-wide, pulpit and pew. That we would just, in all of our hearts, united in this one thing tonight, just say, Lord, somehow, some way, I'm not going to let the week go by without sowing some seed. And Lord, we're just going to trust you. What you do with the seed, Lord, is between that person and you. But thank you, dear God, that there is seed that still finds that good ground. There is seed that still is producing fruit. And so, Lord, may we just do what you've asked us to do. We pray these things in Jesus' name.